You can find this podcast and others at Gun Rights Radio Network, gunrightsradio.com, podcasting freedom.
The Liberals Gun Corner, a proud member of the Gun Rights Radio Network, hosted by Cowboy T, San Francisco liberal with a gun. This podcast is always available at www.liberalsguncorner.com, and you can email us at cowboyt@liberalsguncorner.com. Cowboy T here. Welcome to episode 24. And, oh, by the way, the end of our totally unnecessary two-week-long government shutdown, or rather, slim down. Well, anyway, last time, we were taken apart and looking more closely at a speech President Obama gave after the so-called universal background check proposed legislation failed to get past the Senate. Many of his critics called it, his speech, that is, a temper tantrum speech. Having listened to it myself, I took the time to do that. Well, I have to agree, it was a temper tantrum speech. We got a good way through it the last time, but due to time considerations, let's face it, we don't want a two-hour episode. We needed to wait until this episode, number 24, to get the rest of the way through said speech. So, this is part two of the two-part series. Welcome. Now, before we begin, though, I got to say something here. I know a lot of our listeners tend to be liberals, and of those, many of you support Democratic Party candidates, such as President Barack Obama. Given some of the Republicans running against these Democrats, like John McCain, Mitt Romney, Ken Cuccinelli, among others, well, I don't particularly agree with your strategy, but I can understand why you do it. Years ago, I used to do it too. I didn't like anything Republican way back when. Too much Bible thumping and Confederacy worshiping, so I nearly always voted Democrat. You know, like they say, the lesser of the two evils. For those folks especially, like I used to be, I'll just let you know up front. I am criticizing what the president said in that speech in no uncertain terms. This is because I consider his arguments to be false ones, rooted in deception, red herrings, straw man arguments, and even worse. Please understand, I may be a dyed-in-the-wool liberal, but that does not, emphatically does not mean that I am a progressive, and it most definitely does not mean that I'm a Democrat. I'm not. And it really doesn't matter what someone's party affiliation is anyway. If I see a problem with someone's argument, and especially if it's germane to Second Amendment issues, I'm going to go after it here on the show. I did the same thing to a right-wing extremist radio talk show host a while back, and I may do it again. We need to expose hypocrisy, folks. And this time, that means exposing the strategy of the antis, regardless of party. The recent shooting at the Navy Yard in Washington, D.C., that's already encouraged the antis to try again. They were doing it the day it happened, you know, once again, before the bodies even got cold, just like Newtown. If you watch the news back after this happened, well, they're already preparing their rhetoric for just that. That's why we're doing this here. We will begin where we left off the last time. Let's go.
In fact, even the NRA used to support expanded background checks. The current leader of the NRA used to support these background checks.
I decided to do some digging into that one, too. What he's referring to here is from 1999, right after the terrible school shooting at Littletown High School in Columbine. Turns out, there is a grain of truth to his statement, but as Paul Harvey always used to say, you need to know
the rest of the story.
Turns out this was a bit of a tactical political retreat in the aftermath of Columbine. Furthermore, when Mr. LaPierre was asked about this just a few months ago, and if this was a change of position, he said, we do not, because the fact is the law right now is a failure the way it's working. The fact is you have some 76,000 some people that have been denied under the present law. Only 44 were prosecuted. You're letting them go. They're walking the streets. This is something I've already gone into before here on the Liberals Gun Corner. Mr. LaPierre happens to be right in this case. there seems to be virtually no desire from the Obama administration to go after these folks. And as I said then, they're on record as such. Folks, did you hear that statistic? Only 44 were prosecuted? Come on! Now, as Mr. Obama would say, now let me be clear. Seriously, let me be very clear on something. I am no fan of Wayne LaPierre, nor am I a fan of the redneck, good old boy, pro-Confederacy atmosphere that seems to permeate the NRA. I understand completely why my pro-gun father doesn't care for them. So, when I, the California liberal, end up defending him, which is kind of what I'm doing here, you ought to take notice, folks. Remember what I said about that Phil Donahue show in episode 1. It's not about who's right. It's about what's right.
So while this compromise didn't contain everything I wanted or everything that these families wanted, it did represent progress. It represented moderation and common sense.
Ah, there's that common sense term again. Huh. Anytime a politician refers to common sense, whatever, that ought to be a big red flag. And so it is here, too. Dianne Feinstein called her ridiculous assault weapons ban of 2013 a common sense piece of legislation, too. Well, sure, if you're Hu Jintao, Ayatollah Khamenei, or Kim Jong-un, yeah, maybe perhaps, but not if you actually believe in liberty.
That's why 90% of the American people supported it.
There's that 90% figure again. I guess he thinks repeat something often enough and people will eventually start to believe it. Unfortunately, that's actually proved true throughout history. I seem to recall reading about how Negroes, quote-unquote Negroes, were intellectually inferior to whites. Thus, slavery was somehow lifting the Negro race up out of the jungle. It was good for them. Yeah, sure. Same for Manifest Destiny. You know that little thing involving the Native Americans and their near extermination? Both of those things got repeated over and over again, too. Doesn't make him right any more than this 90% nonsense is.
But instead of supporting this compromise, the gun lobby and its allies willfully lied about the bill.
Oh, he's a fine one to talk about lying. This guy's been lying through his teeth his entire little speech. And by the way, who is this gun lobby that he keeps speaking of? I'll tell you. It's you, me, and everyone else that actually believes in the Second Amendment and the rights guaranteed to us thereunder. He's talking about us like that. You and me. Still want to support this guy? I don't. Being a liberal, I can't in good conscience support someone like this. How dare he?
They claim that it would create some sort of Big Brother gun registry, even though the bill did the opposite. This legislation, in fact, outlawed any registry. Plain and simple, right there in the text.
National gun registries are already outlawed, folks, thanks to this little law called the Firearm Owners Protection Act of 1986. And Mr. Obama knows it. That's a red herring meant to distract you. Just how stupid does he think we are?
But that didn't matter.
And why would it? Like I said, it's already illegal to have a national gun registry. Just look up Federal Law 18, United States Code 926. That prohibition's already been on the books for almost 30 years. What, does he want to outlaw it again? That's like saying, she's just a little pregnant. You're either pregnant or you're not. A national gun registry is either illegal or it's not. And it's already illegal. Quit trying to play us for fools, Barry.
And unfortunately, this pattern of spreading untruths about this legislation served a purpose. Because those lies upset an intense minority of gun owners. And that, in turn, intimidated a lot of senators.
Wow. The liar calling us liars. Standard strategy of those in power, like him, who have an agenda and not a lot of meat to back it up. Point the finger at other folks for your own failings. No, Barry. What happened here is that you and your anti-Second Amendment friends got caught with your lies, and enough of us who value the Second Amendment made our voices heard, as is our First Amendment right. That's what happened there, folks. And apparently, Mr. Obama can't handle it when we, the people, don't always agree with him.
And I talked to several of these senators over the past few weeks. And they're all good people. I know all of them were shocked by tragedies like Newtown.
Oh, I see. Now you're remembering that these senators were once your colleagues, and you're going to need their cooperation to get your agenda through.
So let me be clear. We're just, forget about what I said about it not being worth it to 90% of Republicans. We're just going to forget about that. Clean up.
And I also understand that they come from states that are strongly pro-gun, and I've consistently said that there are regional differences when it comes to guns, and that both sides have to listen to each other.
Oh, really? Then start listening to us, damn it. Jeez. Mr. Obama's not listening to us, the people, and that's the problem. And to think I once voted for this guy back in 08. Big mistake.
But the fact is, most of these senators could not offer any good reason why we wouldn't want to make it harder for criminals and those with severe mental illnesses to buy a gun.
No, that's not what this bill would have done. Once again, he's trying to tie two totally unrelated things together. If he and his anti-gun buddies actually cared about that, then it would have been a bill about mental health, not blaming the gun. We'll be back shortly after the station ID break, and we'll continue. Don't go away.
The forums are a great place to interact with the podcasters and listeners to your favorite podcast. Visit gunrightsradio.com and click on the forums button at the top of the page and sign up for your free membership. Gunrightsradio.com.
We're back. For those of you just joining us, we're critiquing President Barack Obama's anti-Second Amendment rhetoric. Let's get right back into it. We got a lot to cover here.
There were no coherent arguments as to why we wouldn't do this. It came down to politics.
There are no coherent reasons why he and his anti-gunner pals didn't write a bill addressing the problems of mental health. That's what they should have done. But he's right about one thing. It came down to politics. Namely, the politics of gradually trying to disarm us. We went into this idea of universal background checks before here on the show and the dangers of it. Matter of fact, we went into that in rather great detail.
The worry that that vocal minority of gun owners would come after them in future elections.
A vocal minority of gun owners, eh? Yeah, I've heard this before. That's what the Bolsheviks called the rest of Russians, too, all the ones that didn't back them. You know, the Bolsheviks were the minority back then. Yeah, the minority. It's true. They were the minority of Russians. And what does the word Bolshevik mean in Russian? It comes from the Russian word for majority. For all intents and purposes, basically anyone who wasn't them comprised the Mensheviks, the minority. Folks, this is a standard trick of propaganda. Attempt to paint your opposition as not mainstream, the minority. Try to minimize them, marginalize them, any way you can, even if they're in fact the majority. I haven't seen Mr. Obama submit any actual hard evidence that the gun owners who oppose this bill comprise the, as he calls it, minority of gun owners. Let's see him stop alleging it and start proving it. Seriously, let's see it. I may be from California, but it's by way of Missouri. Show me.
They worried that the gun lobby would spend a lot of money and paint them as anti-Second Amendment.
Hey, there's that gun lobby label again. And just who is this gun lobby? Well, once again, that'd be you and me. We went into that in episode 5.
And obviously a lot of Republicans had that fear, but Democrats had that fear too. And so they caved to the pressure.
Oh, they caved to the pressure. Ooh. Yeah, ain't it terrible those mere citizens daring to oppose bad, unconstitutional legislation? How dare they? The nerve!
And they started looking for an excuse, any excuse, to vote no.
And that quote-unquote excuse was very simple. Their constituents saw through the BS and called a spade a spade. They let their senators know not to do this because it's unconstitutional. I know, how dare those mere people think it's okay to talk when the powers that be don't want them to. The knife, I tell yez.
One common argument I heard was that this legislation wouldn't prevent all future massacres. And that's true. As I said from the start, no single piece of legislation can stop every act of violence and evil. We learned that tragically just 2 days ago. But if action by Congress could have saved one person, one child, a few hundred, a few thousand, if it could have prevented those people from losing their lives to gun violence in the future while preserving our Second Amendment rights, we had an obligation to try.
At last, he finally admits it wouldn't prevent all future massacres. Finally. And he's right that no single legislative act can stop every act of violence and evil. But that's a distraction too, because every act of violence and evil also includes thugs beating up someone with their fists or cutting them with knives and then robbing, raping, or even killing them. That's got nothing to do with guns. Remember, these politicians' speeches are very carefully worded before they're given. He knows good and well what he's saying. Oh, then he goes on with this. If action by Congress could have saved one person, one child, few hundred, few thousand. Well, heck, I think we all agree that the premature death of even one child, let alone a few thousand people, is one too many. I also agree with Professor John Lott that the 2 million lives saved by someone with a gun, one of which is my dad, by the way, on multiple occasions, those 2 million lives are worth something, too. What about those? Why do the antis keep ignoring Professor Lott's research like they do? 2 million people saved by a good guy with a gun. Must not fit their predetermined agenda. And as far as saving lives while preserving our Second Amendment rights, well, if Mr. Obama had actually tried to do that, I could have supported him in that effort. But that's not what he and his pals tried to do.
And this legislation met that test.
Like hell it did. It not only didn't meet that test, it didn't even attempt to meet that test.
And too many senators failed theirs.
No, Barry, you have failed yours. In so many ways. Really, don't get me started on you there, man. You have repeatedly lied throughout your entire speech here, and this liberal here is calling you on it.
I've heard some say that blocking this step would be a victory. And my question is, a victory for who? A victory for what?
Well, that's easy to answer. If you want to call it a victory, then it's a victory against bad, unconstitutional legislation. It's a victory for the right to keep and bear arms, one of our most fundamental civil rights. It's a shame that this victory was even necessary.
All that happened today was the preservation of the loophole that lets dangerous criminals buy guns without a background check.
Ah, the gun show loophole nonsense again. That bit of propaganda has been debunked and refuted enough times, including in previous episodes here, like episode 6, that I'm not going to bother doing it yet again. It's BS. And of course, he yet again ignores the fact that background checks were made and passed for these recent mass shootings. And I will call him on his lie there, too.
That didn't make our kids safer.
This bill sure wouldn't have. What would actually make our kids safer is getting rid of that dangerous Gun-Free School Zones Act and stop leaving our kids as sitting ducks to the Adam Lanzas of the world. Sure didn't stop Columbine, which, by the way, happened 4 years after that dangerous law went into effect. Oh, but that would mean the antis having to admit they were wrong, wouldn't it? Darn.
Victory for not doing something that 90% of Americans, 80% of Republicans, the vast majority of your constituents, wanted to get done?
Yep, there's that bogus 90% figure again. 90% of white people once believed that blacks were inferior, too. Repeating it over and over again doesn't make it right.
It begs the question, who are we here to represent?
I'm not sure who he and the other aunties are there to represent, but it sure isn't me. Maybe it's Sarah Brady.
I've heard folks say that having the families of victims lobby for this legislation was somehow misplaced. A prop, somebody called them. Emotional blackmail, some outlet said.
You all can't see the video, but I can. That's exactly what he's doing, actually. Yeah, I'll describe the scene for you. There are a couple of families from Newtown up there on the screen as I'm watching this. They're dutifully standing there, just like they were told. Gonna tell you something, folks. Their lives have been shattered in a way that is unimaginable to most of us. In their delicate emotional state, the aunties, led by him, have convinced and cajoled these families that disarmament will save other families. When you're that emotionally distraught, like they certainly must be, even now, you become very susceptible to suggestion, especially from people in power claiming they want to quote-unquote help you. To me, that's abusing these poor families. Folks, remember, he complained loudly when others tried to abuse his wife and children in the media, and he was right to do so. Yet now he's turning right around and doing just that to families whose lives have been destroyed. He's got some effing nerve.
Are they serious?
Yeah, I'm serious, Barry. You got a lot of nerve, buddy boy.
Do we really think that thousands of families whose lives have been shattered by gun violence don't have a right to weigh in on this issue?
Absolutely not. Of course they have that right. The First Amendment is very clear about that. But that's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about here is his abuse of these distraught families for his own personal political temper tantrum. He's making these families' lives worse just because he didn't get what he wanted.
Do we think their emotions, their loss, is not relevant to this debate?
Au contraire, Mr. Obama. Their emotions dictate that we stop this victim disarmament policy that you're clinging to as if it were a religion. The emotions of these families dictate that we need to get rid of that law on the books that promotes just that sort of mass shooting. The Gun-Free School Zones Act. That single law has killed more children than I care to think about.
So all in all, this was a pretty shameful day for Washington.
I agree. For 54 senators who voted for this bad bill, and a president who's trying to shove it down our throats.
But this effort is not over. I want to make it clear to the American people. We can still bring about meaningful changes that reduce gun violence, so long as the American people don't give up on it.
Well, if the American people will demand to focus on mental health instead of boondoggles like this crazy bill, then yes, we will indeed make progress. I hope that we, the people, and that includes you, our listeners, will make that demand. Former First Lady Rosalynn Carter was right. Mental health has got to be addressed. Finally, we've got to do this.
Even without Congress, my administration will keep doing everything it can to protect more of our communities.
No, he won't. Instead, he'll promote more victim disarmament, which, as both Newtown and the Navy Yard just demonstrated, doesn't make anyone safer. I don't know how you could get more clear than this. The time cometh for a station ID break, so we'll be right back in just a few moments. More to come.
You can hear Gun Rights Radio Network on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Gun Rights Radio Network shows can be found under sources.
So far, we've gotten through a lot of this speech. Let's keep right on going.
We're going to address the barriers that prevent states from participating in the existing background check system. We're going to give law enforcement more information about lost and stolen guns so it can do its job. We're going to help to put in place emergency plans to protect our children in their schools.
3 points here. getting greater state participation in the background checks, getting more info to the police about lost and stolen guns, and emergency plans to protect our children and our schools. Let's address these one by one. First, he wasn't really clear what he meant about state participation in the background checks, since the NICS background checks are actually a federal function, not a state function. But I'll assume that he means better reporting of criminal and mental health information into the federal NICS database. Well, good, then maybe that'll get states like Massachusetts to actually update the database like they're supposed to, which, by the way, they don't. Matter of fact, turns out they're one of the worst offenders, even according to Michael Bloomberg. So if that's what Mr. Obama means there, well, then I'm all for it. That would be a good thing. Second point, about lost and stolen guns. He didn't say how he planned to do that. How do you actually do that, folks, without somehow registering the guns? Oh, wait, gun registries were outlawed by the Firearm Owners Protection Act of 1986. Well, maybe he has another way in mind, but I didn't hear him say it in his speech. And finally, emergency plans to protect children in their schools. Oh, we've already got the template for that. All Mr. Obama needs to do is visit Harold Integrated School District in Harold County, Texas, and piggyback off of the great work they're already doing in that district. The superintendent of schools there has invited the Obama administration to come on out and visit him. Mr. Obama should take him up on that invitation if he's really serious about keeping our kids safe. Let's hope that he will.
But we can do more if Congress gets its act together.
Well, I agree. Those 54 senators who voted for this bad bill really do need to get their act together and start actually following their oath about the Constitution. Fortunately, there were 46 senators who did just that on that day. We need all 100 to be doing it, though, not just 46.
And if this Congress refuses to listen to the American people and pass common sense gun legislation, then the real impact is going to have to come from the voters.
Here he conflates listening to the American people with pass my bill. That is a false association. I would remind our first black American president that listening to the American people not so long ago would have kept him from being Senator Obama, much less president. That's why we have a constitution, and that's why the oath we take isn't to the president or the popularity contest, but rather to the constitution. Mr. Obama would do well to remember that, especially being a Harvard Law School graduate and all. Oh, and that real impact that he mentioned? Well, apparently that did come from the voters. That recall that got rid of two anti-gun state senators in Colorado should have demonstrated that pretty well.
To all the people who supported this legislation, law enforcement and responsible gun owners.
That's funny. The way I heard it, a majority of actual law enforcement officers didn't like laws like this and refused to enforce them because they aren't enforceable. And then he says, and responsible gun owners, clearly meaning that only irresponsible gun owners would oppose it. That's a backhanded slap to all those out here who value the Constitution and the right to keep and bear arms, just because we happen not to agree with Mr. Obama's position. Yeah, way to sell your idea there, Barry. Insult us.
Democrats and Republicans.
Like I said, the Second Amendment isn't partisan. How unfortunate that the leaders of political parties seem to want to falsely make it a partisan issue. You might as well make the printing press or free speech over the internet a partisan issue, too. Or maybe sitting at the front of the bus. Jeez.
Urban moms, rural hunters, whoever you are, you need to let your representatives in Congress know that you are disappointed and that if they don't act this time, you will remember come election time.
Yep, that's exactly what just happened in Colorado. The voters remembered and they recalled two anti-gun state senators. Voted them out of office. Those two are out of the state Senate. They're gone. The people spoke and those two are gone. Come to find out, at least one of them was in a heavily Democratic majority district, too. Oh, so much for the Second Amendment being a strictly Republican today. Whoops. Oh, and notice how the aunties all of a sudden got silent about all that. Where are they when this is brought up? Yeah, interesting, ain't it?
To the wide majority of NRA households who supported this legislation, you need to let your leadership and lobbyists in Washington know they didn't represent your views on this one.
Oh, really? Huh. I've talked with just about every NRA member I could find at gun shows in my neck of the woods. Nearly everyone who goes to these gun shows around here is an NRA member. And we got a lot of gun shows, so they're pretty easy to find. NRA members are very easy to find. To a person, they all said Mr. Obama was off his rocker. Doesn't sound like much of a vast majority of NRA members in favor of this bad bill, huh?
The point is, those who care deeply about preventing more and more gun violence will have to be as passionate and as organized and as vocal as those who blocked these common sense steps to help keep our kids safe.
He keeps repeating this lie that this bill had so-called common sense steps to keeping our kids safe. Yet he admitted earlier in this very speech that it wouldn't stop all mass shootings. Even Shotgun Joe Biden said these universal background checks wouldn't have stopped Newtown. Of course it wouldn't have. Adam Lanza's mother passed a background check to buy that rifle. So, let's get to the actual problem, shall we? The actual problem was that she had her firearms readily accessible, that is to say, unlocked, in the presence of a mentally unstable person in her house, her son Adam. And as for passion, well, how about some more passion for the Constitution from one President Barack H. Obama? How's about it?
Ultimately, you outnumber those who argued the other way. But they're better organized, they're better financed, they've been at it longer, and they make sure to stay focused on this one issue during election time. And that's the reason why you can have something that 90% of Americans support, and you can't get it through the Senate or the House of Representatives.
Oh, in some parts of the country, like Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, D.C., New York City, even my home city of San Francisco. Yeah, maybe the antis outnumber the pro-2A folks. Certainly that's true among those in power in those places. And there's that 90% figure yet again. What is that, the fifth time he said that in his speech so far? Folks, this guy needs to get a new song because that failed tune's just like a bad 1980s pop music. It's getting old and tired.
So to change Washington, you, the American people, are going to have to sustain some passion about this. And when necessary, you've got to send the right people to Washington.
I agree. Too bad we keep sending folks who don't uphold their oath of office, like, say, Nancy Pelosi, Patty Murray, Carolyn McCarthy, Charlie Rangel, Frank Lautenberg for so many years, Ted Kennedy for so many years, and so on and so on. When will someone like a Brian Schweitzer run for a representative or Senate? I could vote for someone like that. As you can see, there are a whole lot of big gaping holes in this speech. However, he says something here in a moment that I actually agree with. Yeah, I know. But it's true. When we come back, you're going to hear it. Stay tuned. It gets better.
This podcast is supported from donations from listeners like you. Thank you for your support. We welcome one-time donations or $2 a month subscription to help support this podcast and Gun Rights Radio Network in its effort to bring you the high-quality pro-Second Amendment podcasts. Every dollar you donate goes directly back into the network. So visit gunrightsradio.com and click on the donation button. We accept all types of credit cards, and PayPal accounts are not required. Gunrightsradio.com.
Okay, we're back. And I promised you a statement that Mr. Obama makes that I can actually agree with. Let's continue.
And that requires strength. And it requires persistence. And that's the one thing that these families should have inspired in all of us.
There it is. That statement by itself, it's one of the few things he said with which I can seriously agree. Get rid, finally, of the clearly very dangerous Gun-Free School Zones Act. Send people to the Congress that will do that so our kids and their teachers aren't sitting ducks again like they were for Adam Lanza.
I still don't know how they have been able to muster up the strength to do what they've been doing over the last several weeks, last several months.
It is Mr. Obama who has them up there as props. I'm sure the families would prefer to be left alone to grieve over their terrible losses that day in Newtown. It is he who is abusing their grief, their shattered emotional state, by using them as props up there. Really, you should see the video. By doing this, he disrespects what they're going through and will go through for the rest of their lives.
And I see this as just round one.
Okay, Mr. Obama can make it as hard on himself and his party as he wishes to make it. It cost him in 1994 and in 2000, so this would actually be round three, not round one.
You know, when Newtown happened, I met with these families and I spoke to the community and I said, something must be different right now. We're going to have to change. That's what the whole country said. Everybody talked about how we were going to change something to make sure this didn't happen again.
Oh, now it's the whole country, not just that 90% nonsense he keeps quoting. He wants change to prevent this from happening again? Jeez, I feel like a broken record here. Just get rid of the Gun-Free School Zones Act. As Newtown showed us, that law is not going to stop a shooter. Yet the law was in place. Adam Lanza broke all sorts of laws in the books, folks, including that one. On the books, it was. Yet even though that law was already on the books, he was still, somehow, able to kill 26 innocent people. The killer at the Navy Yard, another gun-free zone, did the same thing, broke all sorts of laws on the books. The laws were on the books. Didn't stop him. And now 12 more innocent people are dead. These gun-free zones are getting our people slaughtered, folks. Same thing happened to Fort Hood until a brave policewoman could get there minutes later. And what happened during those minutes? We all know. 13 innocent people dead. 30 others injured. To paraphrase Dr. Phil, so how are these gun-free zones working out for us? Obviously not very well.
Just like everybody talked about how we needed to do something after Aurora. Everybody talked about we need to change something after Tucson.
Yeah, and you didn't lift a finger to do something about the mental health issues that were at the core of those shootings now, did you, Barry? No, you didn't. And folks, neither did the rest of the antis. Seriously, it's like they're just pretending that Rosalind Carter doesn't exist. She was all about mental health. Still is. How come they're not focusing on mental health? Oh, that's right. That actually requires hard work. Easier to just blame the gun, isn't it?
And I'm assuming that the emotions that we've all felt since Newtown, the emotions that we've all felt since Tucson and Aurora and Chicago, the pain we share with these families and families all across the country who've lost a loved one to gun violence, I'm assuming that's not a temporary thing.
I hope not, too. Unfortunately, what he and the rest of the antis want to do about it is not only unconstitutional, it's also ineffective. We've already shown you why. Repeatedly.
I'm assuming our expressions of grief and our commitment to do something different to prevent these things from happening are not empty words.
But it seems they are to Mr. Obama. Otherwise, he'd be using his bully pulpit to advocate for something that actually works, because these mass shootings are showing us the criminal background checks that he's backing apparently aren't doing a very good job. Remember, those checks were in fact done. Do the Antis even know how to spell the name Rosalind Carter? I wish they did.
I believe we're going to be able to get this done. Sooner or later, we are going to get this right.
Well, I'll actively campaign against any anti-Second Amendment bills like this attempt. And sooner or later, I hope Mr. Obama gets it right and stops attacking our rights.
The memories of these children demand it.
Whoops, apparently this universal background check is for the children. Yeah. Then how come it didn't save those children at Newtown?
And so the American people.
The American people want our elected officials to follow the Constitution, Mr. Obama. And that includes me.
Thank you very much, everybody.
No, Mr. Obama. Thank you for giving us a beautiful example of a politician willing to lie through his teeth to achieve his unfortunate political agenda. Victim disarmament. Okay, since that's apparently what you want, then, since you're the president, you set the example. You, Mr. Biden, and Mr. Holder, you all go first. All three of you. Give up all that machine gun protection you and your families get. Go ahead. You first. No? Don't want to do that? Well, can't say I blame you. But then don't expect me to either. Folks, what you just heard throughout this episode and the last one is the set of arguments the antis make, and when they don't get their way on it, this is how they respond. They do throw temper tantrums. They try using emotional appeals, all full of charged words and not based in fact. Our way or the highway, they say. Yet so many of them are armed to the teeth or have an armed posse protecting them. What's up with that? How come New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg needs a posse more heavily armed than some small nations? How about Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel? He's got the same thing. What does he need that for? How come he needs guns protecting him in a gun-free city? Why did then City Councilwoman Dianne Feinstein feel the need to arm herself back in the late 70s? How come Michael Moore, another very loud anti, not only has an armed bodyguard, but also himself has a gun? Why? The answer, of course, is obvious. They're concerned about someone harming them. So they want armed protection for themselves. And I'm all for that. I got no problem at all with that. But they don't want to recognize our equal right to protect ourselves in similar fashion. That's hypocritical, and I am totally against that. All those of you listening, I got a question for you now. Do you really think your life is somehow less valuable than Rahm Emanuel's or Michael Bloomberg's? If you do, then I'd suggest some professional help, because you have the same right, to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness that they do, I assure you. And that most emphatically includes the right and the ability to defend yourself. Because if you don't have the tools to do that, then you're at the mercy of those who would do you harm. And, as members of the California General Assembly apparently believe for themselves, the tools for that are guns. This is Cowboy T signing off. Till next time. Till then, safe shooting. Practice often. Thank goodness the government's back open. And thanks for listening.